This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty, self-doubt, stressing about not knowing where to start. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I mean, obviously, he's a great player. That's why we traded for him. I think clearly he's the kind of player you want to, you know, kind of build a lineup around, build a team around. And, you know, I think we'll, you know, any conversations we have with him, we'll keep internal. So, like, you know, there's no point in asking all the time, I guess. Yeah, I know you will. but I just think, like, you know, like I said, it's a process. I'm excited. You know, I think he'll learn what Wrigley's all about over the next few months, which I think is really important. There'll be nicer days than this that he'll enjoy. I'm excited to have him. And obviously, like I said, like, you know anyone wants a player like that long term.
That was Jed Hoyer talking about the eternal question that we will ask every minute of every day, which is, what are you going to do about Kyle Tucker? Especially when he hits home runs. That's how this works. By the way, Kyle Tucker already worth one win.
Yeah, I saw his war.
By himself.
It was 0.9 on Friday when we did the show. He was at 0.9 and Imanaga's at 0.9. Is Imanaga to one?
I hadn't seen yet. Huh. I paid attention to Tuck.
I know you could, because that, it's not his fault, but he is going to be the focal point in Chicago as far as baseball is concerned, because he's the guy who is a six-win player in when you're talking about war. Oh, Imanaga's 1.1? There you go.
B-war.
B-war.
But
okay.
The difference is Shota is locked down.
Yes. You got him for a good deal.
Yep. You did the right thing. So the headline came out on Friday as we were at Sluggers from The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal and Patrick Mooney and more. Sahada Sharma also a part of this. He is EMOS in this. The Cubs are one of MLB's top revenue machines, so why aren't they paying for more players? And at the beginning, they quote a graphic from the Twitter account Brooksgate, and the headline was, this came out on the 29th, how much revenue each MLB team generated last year, and how much of that is going to their payroll this year. And they even denote luxury tax in this. The Mets, relative to what they generated, were the highest. 90% of their payroll went to, compared to what their revenue is. So 90% went to payroll. Their 2024 revenue is $444 million. Their 2025 payroll was $400 million. Take that for your spreadsheet comparisons. Then was the Dodgers. Now their revenue is $752 million. Their 2025 payroll was $549 million. So that's 73 big gap between the Mets and the Dodgers. Before Vlad Guerrero, it was Toronto at 387 compared to 277 spent on the payroll. That's 71.5%. Goes down from there. Philadelphia at 67.2. Arizona, 66.7. The Padres, who just left town, were number six at 63.8. Next up, the opponent today, the Rangers at 57.1. Angels, oddly enough, were in the top eight. Then it was the Royals, and then it was the Orioles. Now, the Orioles, for example, their revenue was only $366 million, and the payroll and tax added up to $183, but this is about the percentages. Number 30 is the Miami Marlins.
Easy to believe.
Who made $317 million and only paid $86. So that's only 27%. Now, here's where it gets interesting. White Sox at 29. According to this, they made $277 million in 2024. The Cubs were 26th at $584 million in reported 2024 revenue, $213 million in payroll and tax. But according to this, they also said that they didn't pay any of the luxury tax. And so that number was 36.4%.
Well, I don't know that they didn't pay. It just says not available. Is that how you took that?
Yeah, I mean, it says NA, but like, for example, you know the Marlins was NA. But it White also Sox, says, it NA. Also says, for example, the Rangers were NA, and I think they probably went over. So this might be the fact that they couldn't calculate it. But either way, like the Red Sox paid $91,000 in luxury tax. How insulting. It's just $91,000.
The Mets are hilarious.
90%.
These are projections,
Steve Cohen is underwriting that function. You know, that's what the takeaway is.
Yeah, and the Cubs, to be in 26th place, to only be at 36.4% of your revenue being spent on payroll, is it shameful? How would you describe that? Because other similar, so like Boston, another big market team, they're at 42.1%, as you just mentioned, with the $91,000 in luxury taxes that they paid. And then you look up, you see a team like Atlanta, okay, $235 million on the payroll, and that's only 46.1%. But you look at the top of that list, and the Mets did their thing. I feel bad for the Blue Jays because they did their thing, but they have nothing to show for it.
That's the risk you take playing in that division, right?
Yeah. And so Arizona, San Diego, Texas, it's a lot of teams that make the playoffs.
But it also gives you a window into say why Red Sox fans were so bothered.
Absolutely.
They were number 23 on this at $574 million in revenue and $242 million in payroll. And then that just under 100 grand in the luxury tax. Now, that was the referenced article from the Cubs are one of the most top revenue teams in baseball, so why aren't they paying for more players? Piece that Ken Rosenthal wrote, as we mentioned with Patrick Mooney and Sahadev Sharma. And he draws the contrast here. You know, you have the highest paid manager in the game, and you trade for Kyle Tucker, but you had back-to-back years of 83 wins. And as Rosenthal writes, not going all out to maximize his final season, Hoyer's and Tucker's becoming a free agent. It's seen in handing the third base job to an unproven rookie at the start of a playoffs or bust season after budgetary restrictions effectively took them out of the running for Matt Chapman and Alex Bregman. This graphic reportedly in this article perturbed Cubs executives. And it was just one of many floating around in the vast expanses we know of social media. But it captured the growing belief that the Cubs no longer seem quite as singularly focused on winning the World Series, at least compared to the way that 1908 once hung over prior regimes. So that was the theme of this article. And I thought that this was pretty important. One league source referred to, quote, the handcuffs, end quote, that Cubs president of baseball operations Jed Hoyer has dealt with while trying to build a playoff contender. A competing view, however, is that the Cubs spent roughly $100 million more than the Milwaukee Brewers last year and still finished 10 games behind that small market team. There are some quotes from Jed Hoyer, but there's also other pieces of this that I think are pretty key here. Like, for example, Matt Chapman was quoted in this. He told The Athletic, the Cubs had a lot of interest in me. They were willing to do a one-year deal with me. There was just no way I could take the Cubs' one-year deal just for protection purposes. I was definitely considering it. I thought it would have been a good place to play. I thought they were a good team. But even if it was two with an opt-out after the first year, I would have really, really had to take a look at it. But they said that with the way their money was, they could only do a 1 year. And I said, that's just too risky.
Of course it's too risky.
But to have him actually say that, that's a big deal.
I mean, what did he end up with?
Chapman went to the Giants.
It was a six-year deal, right?
Yeah. I looked at it as a 1-0 at that time, and I was like, he's either here or he's not, and he wasn't. And then we saw what happened. They went after Bregman, and then Bregman told the intentional talk, or the not intentional talk, he told the Foul Territory podcast that it was between the Tigers and the Red Sox.
Which opened up my eyes because, oh, the Tigers are now in a better position to offer deals than the Cubs are. That seems bad. Yeah, it was a six-year, $151 million deal with the Giants for Matt Chapman compared to a one-year deal. Now, I don't know what the single season salary offer was, but given that they had to offload Cody Bellinger to be in position to make that offer, right? That was their plan all along, is to trade him. I mean, it seems like there is a wide gap between what Cubs ownership believes they should be playing top-tier players and what all the other teams in Major League Baseball believes top-tier players should be paid.
There's another executive source who is quoted in this that I think really does a lot of work with this statement in telling some truths that we all suspected. Quote, they announced what they were going to do when Jed took over, said one executive who was granted anonymity to candidly discuss another club. Quote, they were going to take a step back, and they have. There was the assumption that once they got to a particular point, they would start investing very heavily again. And they've probably been a little bit more methodical about it than a lot of people in the industry thought they would. If that doesn't summarize how Cubs fans feel when they talk about spending, I don't know what does.
On the one hand, I get that, hey, these are big investments when you're talking about these multi-year, $100 million plus contracts. On the other hand, you got to read the room and understand what everyone else is doing and react accordingly. Or maybe not react, but be proactive accordingly. And that's where I think the failure has come in for the Cubs so far. Now, I will say this. The one good point about them not having spent more money is that I do believe if they're in position at the trade deadline to say we're going for it, they can take on more salary than most.
Yeah, but what capital do they have to trade when you gave up guys like Cam Smith in the trade for Kyle Tucker?
It's a good question. They're looking around in their minor leagues right now and trying to figure out who's going to help us now, who could help us next season versus who can we use as a trade chip. And you know, that can change a lot between now and the trade deadline. But the fact that the Cubs couldn't get what they need to get done in the offseason from a totality standpoint, that's more than a concern. It's a red flag.
Forbes in this article also quoted, because they assessed the Cubs at $4.6 billion. That was the most valuable franchise in baseball, to the fourth highest. So they're number four in value. That was an astronomical increase from the $845 million purchase price of the team. That echoes trends we've seen in baseball. But also, they purchased Wrigley Field and a piece of Regional Sports Network in 2009. Of course, that Regional Sports Network at the time was Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. They also quote the Tom Ricketts quotes to us, and I believe that was the Cubs convention interview that Inside the Clubhouse did, where Tom Ricketts said, the business model in baseball, it's worked out pretty well for a long time, but there's a few things right now that are just a little out of kilter. The Dodgers have a lot more resources naturally from smart business moves they made years ago. I don't begrudge them any of that. He goes on, I understand when fans say, how come you don't spend like that? Because they think somehow we have all these dollars that the Dodgers have or the Mets have or the Yankees have and we just keep it, which isn't true at all. What happens is we try to break even every year. But then he clarified on CNBC, that was a more recent appearance. And he said, maybe using the word break even wasn't the way I wanted to say that. I just want people to know that every dollar that's spent at the ballpark goes it back into putting a more competitive team on the field. Away from that, everyone knows, every Cub fan knows, that we've invested roughly $1 billion into Wrigley Field itself and the neighborhood around. So it's not a matter of us not investing. We are putting the best team on the field that we can every year. Every single time he's asked a question about the team's performance, in this discussion, he mentions what he's done with the neighborhood. I understand that that is something to be proud of. Investing in your city is absolutely something to be proud of. It is something that lasts generations. It will pay off for you for generations.
I'm going to say, it's not
There's
like he's
no
not getting
doubt about that.
The rewards from that investment.
But when it comes to investing on the team, which is what the question is, I find it very curious that the response is always paired with the real estate discussion.
And it seems to be a one-way street, too. We're talking about the Cubs and the payroll, that's separate from the real estate stuff. But if we're talking about my overall effect and this ownership group's overall effect, then you want to include the real estate.
630 says it in all caps. The neighborhood doesn't score runs.
Yeah. The neighborhood's not blowing saves?
The neighborhood is respected at all times when you consider that piece of it, right? They had the respect to our neighborhood, and we know that that's also for people enjoying the establishments at and about in Wrigleyville.
That's why you can't make this a one-way street where when you want it to fit your narrative, the neighborhood is a good thing. When you don't want to figure out, oh, that's the neighborhood, that's separate from the actual team itself.
No, here's the issue I have is that you should be proud of investing in the city the way you have. You should be thrilled with the real estate, the return that you've gotten. And that vertical integration, it's still not on your scoreboard.
That was also the point.
It's not in your standings.
That's the point of the graphic. The percentage actually spent on payroll, which last I checked, payroll is the most important thing because the players playing the games are the most important thing.
Well, and again, given that anonymous source and what they said, that when they got to a point that they would start investing again.
Well, when is that point? I know when it's after.
So I was going to point out that you've seen them go up to it. You've seen them talk about it in roundabout ways. Whether it was the trade deadline in 2023, we're going to see where we are. You could even go back to the trade deadline in 2021 and say that that was a point where they decided what they needed to do, that the on-field product is somewhat dictating their decisions moving afterward. But we're pointing out that if the investment is not in kind, then are you at a disadvantage because you're not evaluating this properly?
Yes, definitely at a disadvantage. I don't even need all the graphics and everything else to know they're at a disadvantage. I can simply see when it comes time to pay people who can help you win ball games, what your stance is on those really good players. Now, if you're developing all those players and you're signing them through their arbitration years plus, okay, good for you. But that's not what's happening here. We haven't gotten to that point. Maybe they'll get to that point with a Matt Shaw, for instance, or they would have with a Cam Smith if he's still on the roster. But what we know is you're going after players who can help you win today and tomorrow. Right? So you've got to be able to pay the $100 million-plus contracts like what you gave Dansby Swanson. That's got to be more common than what it is.
Still haven't given out a $200 million.
Well,
Jason Hayward, $184 million.
What helps them in that, well, maybe not helps them. What gives them a little bit of cover is there's a team across town that isn't even sniffing what you've already given out.
Are you competing with them? Who are you competing with? That's the other question here. You decided you wanted to pay your manager the most in baseball. But how much were you expecting him to do?
It goes back to, I'm trying to remember which of the owners talked about just kind of hanging around, like winning enough games to make it interesting. I think a lot of owners are taking that approach. And while that is a decent approach in a small market where you don't have the payroll flexibility, in a city like Chicago, we're talking about Chicago. The second city.
If a whisper of these numbers are true, then it absolutely indicates where the disconnect is. Nobody's asking you to be Steve Cohen and billionaire underwrite your team. It would be nice. I understand he is one of one. But you see what the other teams are doing. And you understand that that's your competition.
Specifically in the National League for the next 5 to 10 years.
So are you competing?
With one hand tied behind your back at this point.
It's a question that deserves to be asked. I appreciate Ken Rosenthal for doing so.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Now for my favorite part of the show. What does that say? Talk to the audience. Oh, God, this is always death.
Why?
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
We actually wanted to take your calls in this, but for real. 312-644-6767. Your thoughts on the Bears being in win-now mode. There is only one way to kick it off on the Midday Show. Mario in Hyde Park. Let's go.
Hey, everybody. Hello there.
What's up, Mario?
Hey, everybody.
So, hello, Layla Rahimi and everyone. So, this morning, I heard that too. And I want to say, as a 30-plus year listener to this radio station, I have never been as angry as I am right now. Oh. The idea that the expectation of the athlete who's been there for 6 years and has seen nothing, for him to go over the top with his reaction to coaching hirings, that is some of the most disingenuous stuff I've ever heard. You mean to tell me that Jalen Johnson, after all of this, the Bears have done nothing in the last 6 years since he's been there? Nothing. For him now to go, you know what, Super Bowl, we're doing it. It's April. They're in OTAs. What do you want him to do? Nothing happens until it happens. This Bear team today on April, whatever day it is, because I've lost track of days,
April
times, 10th. And years.
April 10th.
I don't even know what day of the week it is, man. Go on.
Thursday,
that's
April
10th. Saying.
Yeah.
We're a team.
Thank you very much.
Bears.
What the expectation should be from Jalen Johnson is staying healthy until they get to camp. And then you get to camp. And then you see how you draft. I think that why question maybe made me madder than anything. There is no – it's April. Jesus Christ. It's April.
So you're saying – I'm trying to get down to the bottom. Telling us to calm down? Is that what's going on here, Mario?
No, what I'm saying is – the only expectation anybody should have, uh-huh, and pay heed to what he said, that hype is just that. It's hype. Until you get on the field, until you get between the lines, until you actually play a game or two, until you figure out how to win in your division, there's nothing happening. Nothing.
Mario, I'm with you 100%. I was going to go over 100%, but that would just be hyperbole. I'm with you all the way. How about that?
That works.
I'm actually glad you didn't.
Okay.
I'm glad you didn't go 110%.
I also want to say this. I think you're questioning like Jalen Johnson's assessment of it, and I understand why, because you do have years to your name and your Bears resume. Yeah. I think he was making the point like he's tried all these other times and probably got excited, and he's like, "There's nothing we can do until we're playing."
Yeah, I think Mario's well on board with that, and he's saying everyone should have the Jalen Johnson approach as opposed to the other.
I want to hear your thoughts, Mario.
Until you play, until you can play a game. I don't think he's too far off in saying we should temper our expectation because nothing has happened yet.
I like
that's
it.
All.
I appreciate it. I'm sorry that this is the thing that has made you the most mad. There's a lot of things.
32 years,
yeah,
Layla.
That's a lot, Mario.
Oh, it made me so mad.
But also, you have every bit to be righteous, and yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Mario, look at me. You are what the score is all about, my friend. It is passion. You called in to the score because you've got 32 years of anger pent up that you needed to express. You're the essence, man. Thanks for the call.
I think my sports anger has just calmed down dramatically. Thank you for taking my call.
Talk it out, man. That's what we're here for. Mario in Hyde Park, always great to talk to you on the score. Now let's go to Tony in Joliet. Tony, you're on the score.
Hey, Layla, I can't compete with Mario. I got 25 years. He's got 32. I love the dude. And I just want to piggyback one thing he said before my comments. Yeah, the hype until you prove it. But Jalen Johnson never had the hype of talent that delivered the hype when they had the job. I mean, we had Eberflus. We had all the other stuff. He sees guys coming in that had the hype and delivered the hype. So, yeah, my point is, though, yeah, the Bears are totally in win mode right now. And I think if I can compare it to my 25 years in Chicago, we never have two teams winning at the same time. And I think if we look at it like this, guys.
That's wrong, by the way. But, yeah, I hear you.
The same attitude in the offseason that the Bears had. Right now, we still have Bellinger at first base. It's a money issue. They own the neighborhood. It's money and only money. And we'd have a closer. And we'd probably have a couple more competent middle relievers. So I say this, the Bears are definitely in win mode, and my Cubbies, dagger in my heart, unless they fix this pitching, we're watching the same season of last year. And I love Grody. I sent you a recipe, dude, for a pimento spread. I texted to the score. Hopefully you get it. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
And Marshall Harris,
don't want it.
I love you. And Layla, Every day you're on the score is a better day for the score. Move forward. Forget the past. You guys are carrying the torch, and it's going to go another 30 years. I love you guys.
Tony, thank you so much. I just want to let you know that, unfortunately, the text line, sometimes we don't get all the links or emojis or anything. So send it to one of the score emails. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your kind call. That was awesome.
Kindness goes a long way.
Dudes, that is 52 years. Those back-to-back calls, 52 years of
Bears.
Chicago-ness and Bears-ness. God, is that not the essence? What else we got?
Let's keep it rolling. We are taking your Bears calls on the score. And if we don't have time to get to you, just call our meatball machine. Tell us what you think. It is the voicemail feature on the Odyssey app. Maybe we bring them back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, I think. Just because it's a Bears week and we've got stuff to talk about. James in Pleasant Prairie, you're on the score.
Bears.
Oh, guys, let's temper expectations here. How about we just be quiet? First of all, how about we stop? I want Ben to come in and stop the dysfunction. And if Ben saved Ryan's butt. I'm going to say the right word here because it was dysfunction. Look what happened. We got two guys with their hand in whatever jar it was in. We got Caleb walking around the facility looking for someone to talk to and coach him. I mean, this is insane. Jalen's got the right idea. How about we just shut up? Shut up. If I'm the coach, hey, listen, all your podcasts, I'm older. I'm 52, so I'm doing this a little bit. I'm trying to be cool, but I'm not. I'm fired up.
I'm not cool either.
Just be quiet. Listen, just be quiet. Shut your mouth. You catch you talking too much, I'm going to fine you. How's that? Let's start with changing the atmosphere. Let's start with changing the dysfunction and move forward. Let's start there. I don't want to hear anything about winning or losing. Quiet. Get your butts to work. Let's go out there and win. We got some new talent. But my expectations have been on the top of this for two. I'm done. I'm tattered.
James, will you do me a favor? James, if you see something, will you say something, James?
Yes, of course.
That's all I needed.
I see it all.
Yeah.
Oh, he's clairvoyant. He says he sees it all.
Okay. James in Pleasant Prairie, we appreciate you. It is okay to vent. I'm not cool either. I totally understand.
Yeah, I like the idea of Caleb Williams looking at, will you coach me? Will you coach
Quit
me?
Yelling.
I need coaching. Will ye coach me?
He painted the picture well. I think that might kind of be the case. Like, do you need more help? Blink twice if you're in trouble.
Layla, I don't think we've had three calls back to back to back as passionate as those three calls since the season ended, the NFL season.
Those were three great calls.
They came in. With the blowtorch.
And guess what? Now we have a guy coming up who makes you want to run even farther through the tunnel. Like the paper banner that we want to run through has nothing on our next
guest. Is Herb Howard coming on again?
Matt Bowen.
Oh, Matt Bowen.
Let's rock. Shout out to Matt and Lamont, Embrace and Humboldt Park. I'm sorry we couldn't get to you guys. Don't be afraid to call the meatball machine. Odyssey app, leave a voice message. We appreciate you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score!
Matt Bowen.
Two throws. This one aired out for Galloway. And with contact, it's picked off. Intercepted by Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
The ball came out. Right now they're calling fumble. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
There's always going to be corrections. But if you're looking at this from an outside perspective and studying their tape without being in their quarterback meeting room, you saw visible improvement from Justin Fields.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and the most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen on 670 The Score.
As we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, we go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline and download that Circa app today. Matt Bowen, we have had some great football talk the last hour, and he continues it for us. We had motivated callers yesterday. I joke that you helped make us ready to be like the high school team where we run through the tunnel and then we break the we break the paper banner. We're fired up and we are ready for this. So you got to keep us going here on the Score.
I'll try. What's going on? How are you?
Well, I think I know that you did an extensive draft piece, and I want to get into that because I know you don't do anything half-arse, if you will. That's not your style. So that said, we had a lot of talk about Tremaine Edmonds talking about how the team is in win-now mode and the difference when you know you're on a team that has made a lot of acquisitions and when they haven't. So I figured I would get your take on it to see what you think about the Bears being in that versus maybe what you would say if you know your team might not be in that mode.
Well, I think everyone has to be in win-now mode in today's NFL, right? It is the ultimate business of winning. And I've been there. When we transitioned from Coach Spurrier in Washington and brought in Coach Gibbs, you know, the locker room turned over very quickly. A lot of free agent signings, looking forward to the draft. And there was excitement. There was a different feel in the facility. Now, obviously, Coach Gibbs was coming over, someone who had won three Super Bowls already. He already had the reputation as a championship coach. But I get it. I understand the energy. It feels different. There's a wait till they get on the field. You know, when they start really doing OTAs on the field, the practice tempo will increase. It'll be much different than it was in the past because the players are more excited to be there.
Sounds like almost have to temper things down while at the same time everyone's trying to make that first impression on not only their head coach, their coordinator, but also their position coach. I wonder, looking at this Bears team, because it seems like we're in this cycle, Matt. Every offseason, the Bears are celebrating offseason titles, at least according to the fan base.
We did. Look, now, we did in Washington every year.
So you're familiar with the process.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
until Joe Gibbs came, though, right? Because then everything changes, right, at that moment.
Well, it did. Look, the first year with Coach Gibbs, we had a top 10 defense. We struggled on offense. We did not make the playoffs. But the second year, we did. And it was really the culture that Coach Gibbs built. It was a different way of playing football, a different way of preparing to play football, how you studied every week, much more physical practices. So to your point, things are going to change. Things are going to change drastically in terms of their practice structure, in terms of their meeting structure, how they lift in the weight room. Maybe it's what time they eat lunch. Everything's going to be different. But the players are much more willing to accept those changes because they see excitement. They see an opportunity to win. They see an opportunity to compete. And plus, Ben Johnson has a reputation because of what he did with the offense in Detroit.
And looking at this this document that's in front of me right now, because we had a Google Doc attached, and I went through all the stuff of what you did. I'm just curious, this process versus what you do with free agents, how much more film do you have to watch? Because obviously you have a sudden maybe established context for the NFL players that you've seen plenty on versus these guys coming out of college who you're trying to not only look at them on college film, but also adjust what you're seeing to the NFL game.
Right. It's much different, Marshall, to answer your question, because you have to be fair. You have to understand that the tape's not going to be perfect. And understand that these are young athletes that are still developing, especially when you're watching the quarterback position. Okay. When you want to look at the competition they're playing against, right? Okay, if they're playing the SEC and the Big Ten, it's much different tape than if you're looking at a player from the MAC conference, for example, because they're not playing against consistent NFL competition every week. And even if you're in the Big Ten and the SEC, there's going to be players in that football field that are not going to make it to the pros, right? So you have to be fair with the competition and also where they are developmentally and understand that some things, for example, this one, I have people tell me all the time about a corner, mostly corner, well, he's not a great tackler. Well, is he willing? Okay, because if you're willing, I can coach you, right? I can coach you now. If you're willing to do something, I can coach you. If you show something pretty consistently on tape, I can coach you to be more consistent at a higher rate when you're in the National Football League. So you have to look at really the traits more with the college athletes compared to the pro athletes. Because the pro athletes already have the pro tape. You're looking more at scheme fit, future production, how they can play in certain fronts, whether a 40 front or a 30 front, where in college you're really just focusing on the traits and how you can develop those traits on Sundays.
And I appreciate you doing that. So the story is on ESPN, Matt Bowen's top prospects at 100 different skills and traits. So he does clarify, like, for example, most powerful rusher, best contact balance, most sudden rusher. So I like how you try to do that, where you're putting yourself in the viewpoint of what is this person really good at, and then how do they fit on an NFL team?
Right. And that allows you to have more categories. It went up to 100 this year. And to your point, Lily, it is focused on specific skills or specific traits that they have, right? I'm not going to talk about a player and say, oh, they can't do this. I don't want to hear that. And look, when you write a report, the worst thing you could put in there is but or however. You don't write that stuff. Just say what they can do. And then tell me what they can't do, but do it in a professional way that still looks at the developmental track, potential developmental track of that player once they get to pro football.
Take me through, Mr. Bowen, get me excited about defensive end, because right now I'm having a moment here. I've been all about Tyler Warren in the draft, but I'm having a moment here as far as defensive end is concerned. Can the Bears potentially move up to get Abdul Carter? And then beyond that, I want you to tell me about some of the other guys at the position in which the quarterback is sacked, because I still think the Bears need more. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I think they still need more.
No, I agree with you.
They need a lot more.
I agree with you, Mark.
Yes.
I agree with you, Mark, and I would agree with the Bears if they went offensive line at 10. If they stayed at 10 and went offensive line, I would agree with that 100%. Marshall and Layla and I talked about it all season. We'll go with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that's the model right now in the National Football League. What do they have? Depth and talent in the offense and defensive line. That's what they're built on. That's what that football team, that's the identity of that football team right now. So you want to be like the champs, right? Well, to do that, you have to add more pass rushers, or you need to get stronger on the edges in your offensive line. Now, Mark, to answer your question, can they move up to get Abdul Carter? I don't think so.
Okay.
They don't.
He's being realistic.
Shot
He's
him
not
right
saying
down.
They
Mark,
can't.
The answer is no. Probably not going
to
happen.
He did not say can't, but, or however.
Well, this is why, Mark. I think, one, the price to move up, you're going to have to probably get to number two. Okay. And if you're Cleveland, now Cleveland is a team that has needs all over that roster. There's no question about that. But Abdul Carter, when you turn on the tape, this is someone you don't pass on.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, he's so explosive. And look, when I did this piece and I'm going through all the traits of the pass rushers, it's hard not to put him for everyone. Okay. That's how talented he is. Now, again, I try to be fair. I try to get a lot of names in this piece, but you could make a pass rushing profile of just Abdul Carter in terms of his flexibility, his power, his speed, his quickness off the football, his counter moves. He is absolutely disruptive. And I don't think a team like Cleveland or New York at number three is willing to give that up. A player the Bears could have. And this is a name that's been all over mock drafts, but Mykel Williams from Georgia.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right. Now, he fits the defensive profile of Dennis Allen. When you look at what he had in New Orleans in terms of the frame, the size, and the power of his defensive ends, Mykel Williams has those physical tools. He can rush with speed to power. And again, are there counter moves there? Are there enough there yet? No. But again, I could teach that. I cannot teach the physical profile, right? I cannot do that. I cannot, but I can teach hand usage. I can teach how to set up an offensive tackle from a defensive line coach. But the power and the speed off the ball, that's what you're looking for. And that's a player that does fit the profile of what they want at the defensive end position.
Just to give an example, as we're joined by Matt Bowen, former NFLer and now NFL writer and analyst for ESPN. We're talking about his 2025 top prospects and all the different traits from Mykel Williams that he just described. Here's the synopsis. An easy fit for the loaded defensive fronts we see in the NFL. Ooh. Williams can use his long 6'5 frame to convert speed to power from edge alignments. He's a physical defender with the tools to develop into a disruptive force. One of my favorite things about the way this is laid out is because you're talking about all these different traits across a position. And we know that the Bears need a running back, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking through how you're listing the running backs and kind of what you're saying these guys are best at going up and down the list of characteristics and traits. I'm curious as to what you think of those traits is the most important for the Bears to get based on who they already have in their running back room and what you think Ben Johnson wants to do with that running back position.
I think the pass catching ability has to be there. Now, you don't need to be Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield, but to be able to produce on swings and screens and underneath throws, be an outlet for quarterback Caleb Williams. I think that's a complementary piece you have to have in today's NFL. And most of these running backs do have that. The other thing is downhill decisive power. I think that's what you're looking for right now. If you're pairing a running back with DeAndre Swift, you want someone who has the north-south juice, the north-south power to move the pile, to move the sticks, and also some explosive ability when they get through the second level. Now, a name there, and look, you guys know where I went to college, but Caleb Johnson from Iowa obviously fits that profile very well. Judkins from Ohio State fits that profile very well. Now, someone like Travion Henderson, I think, is going to move up in this draft class because of what he can do in pass protection and catching the football out of the backfield. That, to me, I'm not saying the Bears won't do something like that, but that, to me, isn't a great compliment to Swift, right? You want what Ben Johnson had in Detroit. You had Jahmyr Gibbs, you had David Montgomery. Different skill sets, but both fit into the offensive structure.
Matt Bowen, this is such a great compilation, especially because you give us the viewpoint of what NFL coaches see. You know, so many times we talk about how the Bears love relative athletic score, which you're familiar with well, or we talk about traits, and you're talking about how to use them. So I want to know, out of this list of all the traits that you mentioned, and these are pretty good compliments when you consider guys' skill sets, what is your favorite trait or compliment that you gave one of these players on this list?
There's two. Okay, the first one, and they're both in the secondary, but I have Lathan Ransom, safety from Ohio State. I have him listed as the best tone setter. Okay, now what does that mean? That means someone who's an enforcer, an intimidating player, when you turn on the film. And that's what you want. You want to set the identity of your defensive backfield. And you need that tone setter. You need that tone setter. Someone who will drop the hammer on contact, will basically roam the middle of the field and close the middle of the field in the short to intermediate areas, because wide receivers don't want to go in there anymore, right? I think it's important to have in your secondary as an intimidator or an enforcer, because it allows you to set a certain identity you want to put on tape and you want everyone across the league to see. The next one is Billy Bowman Jr. is a safety from Oklahoma. He used the term more urgency in coverage. That's something I always look for, even at the high school level where I coach. How urgent are you? What that means is your play speed. How quick are you to the football? You know, how disruptive are you because of your play speed? That stands out to me on tape. When you turn on the tape of Bowman, there's something different about him. Similar to like a Buda Baker, if you ever watched the Arizona Cardinals play, and how fast he is to the football. What that does, it allows you, it puts you in a position to make plays, for one, but it also increases the team speed around you. Now you can have someone who can cut off the ball on the perimeter, someone who can close quickly on throws in the middle of the field. And to me, those are important traits to have.
So based on what you just said, because we know that because of the Jaquan Brisker situation and Kevin Byard not knowing how long he'll be with the Bears, he's in a contract year coming up. Who do you like for the Bears to maybe supplement, and where do you think they'll fall in this draft in terms of the guys you just named or a guy you think the Bears should be interested in at safety?
Well, one name I'll mention, I don't know if the Bears will have an opportunity to draft him or if they will, but just, you know, a player that I really liked when studying him on tape was Xavier Watts, the safety from Notre Dame. Because he has he has difference in making ability because he can make plays in the football. He had 13 interceptions over the last two seasons. That's a big number in college football. He's got post range. He's got split field range. And you have to have that in today's NFL. It's a passing league. You have to have someone that can take the ball away and can really close the post for you in the middle of the field. And something else I was thinking about, that I was talking about Billy Bowman Jr., and someone asked me for a comp for him. And not so much in pass coverage. I think Billy Bowman is someone that can also play in the slot. But in terms of disruptive ability, it reminds me of Mike Brown, the former Chicago Bears safety. You know, someone who's disruptive and takes the ball away, right? And you want that in the secondary.
Mike Brown, one really just a great safety with the Bears, part of one of my favorite seasons in 2001 with the back-to-back walk-offs. Just going down the list here, Bowen, Joe Tooney, Drew Dolman, Jonah Jackson, Dio Odangbo, Grady Jarrett, Devin Duvernay, Olamide Zaccheaus. All right, man, this is the moment. The Bears at number 10. With all of that in mind, I don't know if I necessarily need a player from you, but like, what position do you go, Matt Bowen, at number 10? And if you got a player, lay it on me.
I'll have a player for now. It'll probably change three times before we get to the draft. But for today, it's Kelvin Banks Jr., the left tackle from Texas.
That's what I have right now. Okay. Yes.
I think the athletic profile, I don't know if that Marshall, I don't know if he falls. I think that's the range you should go in. I really do. I think Will Campbell's going to – first of all, I think Will Campbell's going to go higher than people expect. And, look, some teams might grade him as a guard. Okay, I understand that. But just in terms of what he is as a football player, I think he goes higher than number 10. I think Banks is someone that can play at the left tackle position. He's got the athletic profile. He's got great footwork. Did not give up a lot of pressures and sacks in college. Played against really good competition. That's someone you really want to develop who has the traits and tools you want at the left tackle position. What that tells the Bears is it tells that current roster that's getting ready in the offseason program right now that we're going to challenge you. We are bringing in players to challenge you and to compete to take your jobs. And that's what you want. You want the ultimate competitive environment. You know, the veteran players have to understand that. That's part of this. And we didn't mention that at the top, but when you go through a coaching change, hey, everyone's on alert right now. Because when you go through a coaching change, you weren't good enough last year. You simply weren't good enough. Yep. And that's part of playing pro football. I went through it. And they're going to draft players at your same position.
It's scary, isn't it? Scary as hell.
And it's not necessarily they're trying to run you out of town, but they are trying to increase that competitive profile in everyone. And that's why I was talking about the play speed during practice, why it's going to increase, because people are going to be fighting for jobs for real this year.
I also think that there was a good point made in the draft analysis discussion, which is sometimes teams don't want to see more from guys they consider slam dunks. You know, that they want to visit certain people's pro days where they may still have questions. They want to bring somebody in. Can you speak to that part of it where maybe somebody's getting a visit because they do have a little bit more they want to see?
Well, sure. I mean, that's part of the your top 30 visits is to bring them in. Also, to you know, that's also to put that out in the media on purpose to try to move up or move down in draft position. I understand that. But sure, you don't get enough time at the combine. First of all, you don't get enough time to interview and sit down with these players. You don't get enough time at pro days because there's a lot going on. And I think those top 30 visits really give you an opportunity to understand the person, understand the football character, understand their competitive drive and why they play this game. And most importantly, understand if they love football or not. Because to be good in this league and to stay in this league, you have to love the game. You have to love the grind about it. You have to love the tough days. You have to love the times when you're hurt and you still have to play through an injury to get in the field on Sunday. You have to love every aspect of this game to be a great pro. And that's a big part of the interview process.
Well, as usual, you've got us fired up still, Matt. Thank you for the motivational speech. I just need something to run through. That's my only issue here. All I have is a doorway.
That works.
Yeah.
We'll find something. I'll tackle maybe a trash can. I'll figure it out.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Matt, thank you. I
appreciate it. Thank you.
And don't forget to read his article because he does such good analysis.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I don't know. I mean, it's been great ever since I come over here. I mean, right now I don't have anything, so I can't really give you anything. So, but, I mean, it's been great ever since I've been over here. Everyone's been super nice and helpful and everything, and hospitality's been great. And obviously, you guys can walk around this facility. It's really nice. So, I don't know. I'm just here to play some baseball and see what happens after that.
Kyle Tucker is a man about business. That was him talking about not only Vladimir Guerrero's junior extension yesterday before the game, but also what could happen to him. It is a story that we will continue to track, to say the very least. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And now we go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we find Sahadev Sharma, one of the beat writers on the Cubs for The Athletic, noted Illini alum. I'm sorry about the Illini team not making it far enough in the tournament. Sahadev, I had them going to the Sweet 16. It is still great to talk to you regardless on the score.
Yeah, that was not a fun Kentucky game, but I should have. I had my hopes up that they'd make a surprise run. It would all coalesce in March. Oh, well. I learned my lesson once again.
Me too. And why? Why did I do that to myself? Why?
We do it every year. We pick a team. We think they're going to do something. And they don't do as much as we think that they're going to do. That's the nature of the game.
It's also an Illini thing. Like, Sahadev gets it.
What? I was with the Illini in Boston. Elite Eight run. That's a nice run.
Well, you got to go back next year.
Maybe I will.
We should talk to you about some baseball, too. The reason we wanted to talk to you isn't just like what we heard, for example, from Kyle Tucker. We will get to that. But also the deep dive that you, Patrick Mooney, and Ken Rosenthal composed that came out on Friday last week about the Cubs spending money. You know, it was based on a graphic that came out on Twitter comparing revenue, which I believe was reported, to what the payroll was and the disconnect there. What were your takeaways in reporting on this story and being able to summarize it in a way that a lot of fans feel like was accurate?
Yeah, I mean, we've been kind of perplexed about this for a little while. That graphic kind of came out at the perfect time because we were hoping to get the story out. I showed Patrick the graphic and I said, this kind of fits perfectly with what we're writing. Let's try and get some reaction to this. Yeah, I mean, that was the simple question, and that's what we kind of wanted to frame. This is the revenue, and this is what is being spent on the on the player payroll. Why is it like this? You hear different excuses from business people on why this happens. I think ultimately fans don't want to hear the excuses, right? They see that many teams ahead of them on that list, and there's extreme frustration. It doesn't, they are going to be in on Kyle Tucker. Do they ultimately land him? I think the executive that we got talking about that and saying that's kind of the litmus test that they face now, they've been in on players. They haven't signed the big one. What's going to happen with Kyle Tucker? I think that's where the question really gets answered, right? Like the Red Sox were kind of in a similar boat lately, and people were frustrated. Fans were frustrated. They're starting to spend now. They're being aggressive. They're using it. It's mostly extensions. They couldn't land Juan Soto, but they're spending that money. They're up there. You want the Cubs to be up there. They cannot be 12th, 13th, 14th. They can't even be 9th, in my opinion. You need to be in the top 5, top 6 pretty regularly. I understand if you want to make the argument that they're not going to spend like the Mets and the Dodgers, I can understand that. I'll be generous and give you the Yankees, but they need to be up there, and they just haven't been, and this is the perfect time to do it. You're young, you have veterans whose deals are coming up, you're ready to compete, be aggressive, the business side, has put restrictions in place that kind of keep them from being as aggressive as they probably want to be.
The overarching theme, Sadaf, is that we're looking at a Cubs team that when you see what other teams are offering some of these guys that you're saying they should probably go after, there is a disconnect there from what the Cubs would like to pay versus what the open market is going to give these guys. You can talk about Alex Bregman. You just mentioned the Red Sox. You can talk about the one-year deal that was talked about with Matt Chapman and what he ended up signing instead. So my thing is, how is that disconnect closed? I mean, is that just a pure ownership has to have some kind of awakening moment in your eyes?
Yeah, I don't know how that changes. Right. Like the disconnect, in my opinion, when looking at the front office and what ownership wants to do, they need to pick a lane, right? Right now, they're kind of in this middle lane, and it doesn't work the way that the CBA is constructed. You, if you are going to be this, like this mid-market team or whatever, you don't sign Dansby Swanson. You don't extend Ian Happ. You don't extend Nico Horner. Fans don't want to hear that, but I'm just telling you the way front offices think. You don't do these things unless you're going to push in with your salaries, right? With your overall budget. Unless you're going to spend like a top six team at six-ish team, you don't do those moves. Because what do with those players? You let young players play at those positions. You trade someone like Ian Happ or Nico Horner. You trade these guys. That's what these teams that don't have huge budgets do. And like when you're not competing for the best free agents, when you're not able to extend someone like Kyle Tucker or you know, if you're not going to pay up the big money for Kyle Tucker, you need to do these types of things, right? You don't want them to act like the Milwaukee Brewers and Cleveland Guardians. But if you're not going to give them the huge budget and let them use it as a cudgel against the opposition, then you kind of have to. You have to pick a lane. Otherwise, give them the huge budget. And yes, do they spend more than the NL Central? Yes, they do. But guess what? You have to really use that as a huge advantage. And they have the CBA is built for all these advantages for the small market teams where they get all this money. They get all these draft picks. So many draft picks. There's a reason they can consistently reload their farm systems without having to trade everyone away. Yes, the Cubs need to draft and develop as well as these teams, if not better. They need to do all these things, but they also need to use their financial might or pick a lane. Decide what you're going to be, who you're going to be.
Well, I worry that direction might lead them into the opposite. You know, it might lead them into not paying. I appreciated this quote in particular from your story. They announced what they were going to do when Jed took over, said one executive who was granted anonymity to candidly discuss another club. They were going to take a step back, and they have. There was the assumption that once they got to a particular point, they would start investing very heavily again, and they've probably been a little bit more methodical about it than a lot of people in the industry thought they would. That was diplomatically put. But I think you know the context when you get a quote like that, what that means. Can you help us clarify?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're spending 210-ish million right now on payroll, and that's down from last year in a year that's, you know, win or you lose your job type of situation for this front office. And, they should be more aggressive. It's what I'm saying. I understand, people want to people want to say that they are spending a lot. Yes, is Tom Ricketts Bob Nutting? He's not doing that, right? I don't want people to assume there's gray areas here, right? It's not black and white. It's not you're either this or that. He's not Bob Nutting. He's not going home with a bunch of money. He's not taking it all for himself. That's not what's happening here. But he's also not using the Cubs to their full might. I believe them when they say the money that's coming in is going into the team, but there's also other money. You own all this other stuff around the ballpark that's not considered money that you're making for the team, right? Because it's a separate entity. You don't own that stuff without owning the Cubs, right? So, you can quote unquote, we don't have the full books here, so I don't know what is creative accounting and what isn't, but you could quote unquote take a loss and be perfectly fine, right? You also have this team that you bought for around $800 million that's worth pushing $5 billion, if not $6 billion now. Yes, I understand that that's not liquid, but you just need to. They're not spending like anyone expected them to at this point. Like this was supposed to be a reset and then push forward. That's not happening. If your payroll goes down from last year in a must-win season, that's a little mind-boggling. Yeah, and you can't say there are exceptions here and there. It's we'll sign for Alex Bregman. Well, they did that for last year for Cody Bellinger. There's a reason they had to trade away Cody Bellinger, and so they could add other pieces because they're only exceptions for these big-name players. That can't be how it's run.
Well, and unfortunately, I think it is. And another piece of this to me is also. There's the chance we've talked so much about Jed Hoyer being in his last year of his contract and his job being on the line. But Jed has an excellent resume in baseball. I also think there's equally a chance that he might want to do something else too.
Yeah, you know, he's got a family. He's established himself here. If he's handcuffed and he believes like nothing's going to change, maybe that's true. They need to figure out the business side and baseball ops need to come together and figure out what the plan is exactly, right? I think that's ultimately what needs to happen. Are they going to be upset if they're not giving out the huge deal to Kyle Tucker? And if they are, if business side is going to be upset about that, then what, like, are you going to give them more leeway on payroll? Because the way this front office looks at it, if you're spending $40 million a year on Kyle Tucker, that's a good investment for about 4 years in their mind. That this is how these front offices think, right? Like the back end of these deals, they have to look at it as a sunk cost. Okay, can we outspend that sunk cost? Can we still spend? Can we have bad money on our books and still be able to compete and spend and go after big time free agents? Because remember, that stopped after they signed Yu Darvish. They won 95 games, and Tom Rickett says that the team's good enough. We don't need to go after Bryce Harper. That's not what the front office was thinking during that 2018 season, and things changed, right? Finances changed. What they had available to them changed, and that changed the trajectory of the team, frankly. Like, they needed another bat. They weren't able to go get that. So it changes. Signing one player and then saying, you know what, that's enough, it just doesn't work when you're spending that much money. Like, if something goes awry, you're like, suddenly you're handcuffed and you have no ability to go out and make changes and really get players that can kind of change the mix and make things better again.
Bryce Harper, just one of a number of players who would look great in a Cubs uniform if the Cubs ownership and front office were able to go after them and sign them. Talking to Sahadev Sharma, Cubs beat writer at The Athletic and the co-host of the Northside Territory podcast. Let's talk about where we are right now, though, with this team, because we could talk about the big picture stuff all day long, but there's still a season to be played. There's games to be played yesterday, tonight, tomorrow, and, you know, a full 162. And right now the Cubs are doing pretty well. I do like, and when I say like, I'm trying to take the positive out of the negative. Because they are down in payroll, you know that they will have an opportunity if they get close to the trade deadline to add bats, arms, whatever. They seem to have that flexibility. Now, what you have to give up to get that stuff, that's another discussion. But it seems like they're very well positioned based on the offense we've seen so far to be in contention, albeit setting themselves up for the National League playoffs.
I agree. I think this team is better than last year on paper, and it's looking like that on the field. We're all kind of remembering what it's like to have this impact, game-changing bat in the lineup. Kyle Tucker doesn't have to be the only person to step up, but I do believe he impacts the lineup in a unique fashion. They have a lot of depth. Remember last year at the beginning, when they went in that slump, they were getting nothing from center field, shortstop and catcher, right? And third base. Well, Dansby Swanson's healthy. Third base is not like a superstar, but Matt Shaw is giving you enough. Miguel Amaya and Carson Kelly Carson Kelly's not going to keep this up, but he's been great to start the season. And Miguel Amaya is putting up just completely different at bats than what he did at the start of last season when he was really slumping. And Pico Armstrong is, you know, I don't think he's getting the results that the quality of the bats suggest. So he's also, when the second he gets on base, it's like just chaos ensues. So they're just getting so much from some of the lesser names, and then you have really quality players around them and a superstar in Kyle Tucker. I love this offense. I really like the way they grind pitchers down. The starters are doing a little bit better than I expected, actually. I was a little concerned about the starters. Matthew Boyd's been amazing. I'm very curious to see how Jameson Taillon does in his next start, because that last start, something clicked and he looked like a different guy. I talked to him about it. He felt very different out there. If he can keep that going forward, that kind of changes things for the rotation. And there's a lot to like about the group. The bullpen is the big question, right? And we're going to be talking about it until I don't know how long we're going to be talking about it. Hopefully it settles down, because you don't want to be talking about the same problems in May and June.
Oh, no, we are. It's going to be like talking about Illini basketball. That's 100%. Like, you know what the storylines are going to be outside of basketball. It's going to be Cubs bullpen, Kyle Tucker, and whether or not the offense is sustainable. Like, yesterday was a really encouraging thing to see. It wasn't just the Padres series where they could have swept them, arguably. But you know that's what we're going to be following.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. This is the positive for the bullpen. When you have blowouts like yesterday, that saves a bullpen. They were playing so many close games the past two seasons that the bullpen, it was like you couldn't not expose the bullpen. You know what I mean? They had to be exposed. So you hope that they can have some of these blowouts every once in a while, save their bullpen, and then you can kind of lean on your best relievers. And they're starting to emerge, right? Like Porter Hodge gave up a run the other day. Guess what? He's not perfect, but he is showing that he's a really, really good high-leverage reliever. I think Brad Keller is slowly earning himself some trust and becoming, you know, a high-leverage guy. Julian Merriweather, if he's healthy, we know he can be that. Listen, I know Ryan Pressly's scaring fans right now, if not enraging them. I'm shocked by the walks. Even when the stuff diminished a bit last year, the walks weren't there. So I'm confused as to what's going on there. If he can settle in with the walks and get rid of those, he can be a good reliever. We'll see if he's still the closer at some point, you know, however long it takes before Craig Counsell decides a move is necessary. But you have three or four good relievers. You feel like you're in a good spot and you can kind of let others settle into their roles. You know, I think Caleb Thielbar is, if he's your main lefty, he just cannot walk guys like he did. You can't, like that Sunday game, Elias Diaz got walked twice, and this is a guy that just doesn't walk, and you're walking your number nine hitter twice. Those are the types of things that drive coaches and managers insane. Like, I remember Tommy Hotovy saying last year, someone asked, I can't remember if it was me or someone else, what are you looking for as far as pitchers go next year? Like, what attributes are you looking for? And the first, without hesitation, strike throwing. And he's not getting that right now, not from the bullpen. As much as the offense takes walks, the bullpen hands them out. And that among anything else, that has to change.
Well, great stuff as always, Sahadev. We appreciate talking to you and giving a little more insight into that article. If you have not read it, once again, the headline is straightforward on The Athletic, and it asks a question. So the Cubs are one of MLB's top revenue machines. So why aren't they paying for more players? Read it if you've not gotten to yet. It's great. I see it's got a ton of comments as well. Sahadev Sharma, thanks for joining us on The Score.
Thanks, Sahadev.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Listen, I'm passionate about what I do. I love what I do. And I love who I do it with as well. So, like I said, we got this coaching staff. It's wired exactly like we wanted it to do. Feel strongly about the players we brought into the building as well. And I do think, you know, you can win and lose games based on how hard you're playing. You can play harder than your opponent in this league and win ball games. Even though the parity is such that everything's close. And so that's where the intensity, the attitude with which we play, the speed with which we play, it's all really important down in and down out.
Down in and down out, but not bare down and not down and out. You got that?
Not down and back, because that's another thing. You know,
yeah, that is workout. The thing. That is the thing.
Did not like down and backs or suicides or anything where I'm going down
up
shuttle
downs,
style.
Burpees.
Oh, I like burpees. I know, unpopular, hot take.
No, they're
burpees
good
are
for
awesome.
You.
They're
they
fun.
They are good for you, unfortunately. Ben Johnson and his sense of discipline was who that was, joined with Luke Kunelis, who was at the owners' meetings, and that's where that conversation took place. And we are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And before we get into this sound from our friend Jalen Johnson over at Hollis Hall, who just spoke, we want to let you know that there's a very special episode. of the Take the North podcast coming up. It is going to be live.
A very special episode.
A very special episode. Maybe it's after your school. I don't know. Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer are doing the show on Thursday, April 17th from 6 to 7 p.m. here at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. And we are going to be giving away tickets during the show. So you want to listen for that. Yeah, very special episode.
I'm so excited. When you hear so a very scared. Special episode, it takes me straight back to childhood and like about 4 p.m. A show's coming on. And a very special episode. Very, very heartwarming, very serious subject matter. What comes to mind? Maybe Saved by the Bell. I'm so excited.
Yes.
Yeah, that falls under that
purview,
right?
That's what I just said, yeah.
Yeah.
So, now that we've handled caffeine intake can be dangerous for you, and there's an after-school special that could happen.
I'm so scared.
We need to get to people who seem naturally energized. Let's start with Jalen Johnson on the Score.
Y'all surprised to see me or something? What's up?
What's going on?
Not much. Chilling. You all right?
I'm good.
I'd love to see you. Good to see you.
What was Ben's message yesterday when you guys got here?
It was a lot. It was one of the longest ones he said he'll have. So, but I think overall just setting the tone for what we want to do this year and really just having a sense of urgency right now, not just waiting and going through a process and figuring out what we're going to do, but establishing who we are right now and then working towards that goal. Really just the mindset of winning and winning right now. And winning a certain type of way, too. I think just having that dominated mentality is something that I took from the team meeting. And it starts now. It starts with the work that we put in. It starts with gelling and being cohesive and understanding what they're going to be asking from us, especially on defense. Just understanding the mentality, understanding the mindset and identity that we're going to establish. And really just chasing that throughout the offseason, throughout the training.
Are you the type of guy who gets fired up in April by a new coach? I know the answer to this, but I'm asking anyway.
I've been through it too many times, man. I'm going to get excited when we win in November and December and we change some things and get to the playoffs. That's when I'll be excited. But right.
As an extension of that, the next 5 months are going to be all about talk and hype and excitement and energy. How do you navigate that, knowing your mindset and not really being bought into all that?
That don't got nothing to do with me. The only thing that has anything to do with me is the work that I put in, the work that we put in as a unit, and just taking the steps in the right direction. Other than that, the talk, the hype and all that, I mean, hype don't win you no games. So, I mean, I've been here a minute. I've been through the hype, and we don't win no games. So, I mean, for me, if it's not about winning, quite honestly, I don't really care about it.
Yeah, been through it too many times, as you mentioned. This is your third head coach. I'm not sure how many defensive coordinators off the top of my head. Does anything feel different with Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen this time, anything new?
No, I mean, we're still trying to figure each other out. I mean, I just seen the guys in person for the first time yesterday. So, I mean, nothing feels different for me. At the end of the day, again, I'll see in camp to start. And, I mean, that's when the real ball will show up. And then really, I mean, throughout season, we'll see. Cause, I mean, things can start off rocky in the beginning. We figure it out and things change throughout the back half or middle of the season. Or we start off hot and then we the bed. So, I mean, it kind of just depends for me. At the end of the day, to me, it's about winning. And I feel like we go out there and we win on Sunday. I feel good about everybody.
Yeah. All right, let's stop it. Here's why. This quote right here is going to hit. And it's going to hit. It should stay with you. That don't got nothing to do with me when asked about the hype, right? He's seen it too many times. He's basically fooled me once, shame, fool me twice, can't fool me again. Listen, that I
strategery.
Love this. I love this attitude from Jalen Johnson because he's like, y'all can get hyped if you want. I'll wait till we get on the field and start doing things and winning games in October, November, whenever, September, whenever. But I'm not here for the talk.
Well, also, think about how the season went down.
Exactly. So,
you know, here he is enjoying his life in London, and they had just beaten Jacksonville on the 13th of October.
You mean
and
when he said
they had a 10-game losing streak. And what happened the season before? And then they had a 10-game losing streak. Man. I don't discredit Jalen Johnson at all for pointing out the obvious that has happened the last 2 years. Let's play it.
How about style of play? You've played in a couple different styles of defense here. What have you been able to see, watch, or how do you feel like this would suit your skill set?
You lock up the number one guy, number one on number one. So, I mean, for me, that's what I'm looking forward to doing. That's what I look forward for the most. That's what I train for. That's what I work hard for. So, I mean, for me, it's just going to be about that, being ready to go out there and lock up, challenge guys, make things hard on the offense, mess up timing. And then the dogs up front, they got to eat. So, I mean, everybody just do what they do best. Dogs eat, and then the guys on the back end we cover.
Jalen, along those lines.
I expect to, yeah.
Jalen, along those lines, Dennis Allen historically played more man coverage than you guys have played around here.
Sure.
Are you looking forward to playing a little bit more man than maybe you have in the past?
Yeah, that's what I feel like I'm best at.
Stop it here. Stop it here. Hold on. Because I just want to point something out. The man wants to travel. He said he expects to travel. I cannot wait. He said his job, what he is concerned with, is locking up the number one receiver on another team. And now I feel like he feels like the restrictor plates have been taken off. He can now go and guard whoever the best man on the field is.
Also, is it a Jalen Johnson press availability if there's not an excited cuss word in there? Like, thank you, Jalen. Thank you for pushing the envelope at good old Hallis Hall, because somebody had to do it. By the way, Jalen Johnson's press conference is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Let's listen to more of midseason form in comments, Jalen Johnson.
Friends or former college teammates throughout the league that have played for either Ben Johnson or Dennis Allen?
Nah, quite honestly, I don't want to say they worry, don't mean too much, but their experience is not going to be my experience. So, I mean, their team, their roster, their situation is different. I mean, coming in here in Chicago, it's unlike anything that anybody's experienced before. So, I don't really need to or care to ask about other people's experiences.
What do you think of the additions of Grady Jarrett and Dio and what they can bring for your defense up front?
It's havoc. From what I've seen, I mean, all I can see is the highlights on YouTube. But for the most part, I feel like they cause havoc. Grady has been playing this game at a high level for a long time. I've always been a big fan of his game. And he was in Atlanta. So, I mean, definitely getting a dog like that up front, it's going to help me out on the back end. And I know he's going to cause some havoc, too, in the run game. Pairing him, what I think, with A-Bill will be a heck of a sight to see, for sure. And then Dio, I think him, too, just seeing how aggressive he is off the edge and just how disruptive he is can definitely help us on defense.
When you studied to face the Lions offense, what impression did you get of Ben and kind of what his offense would look like?
I mean, the biggest thing is eyes, just having good eye discipline, which is hard to do when you're getting smacked in the face almost every play and things like that. And then the receivers blocked hard. So, I mean, sometimes you're trying to anticipate certain blocking and then they run play action pass and things like that off of it. So I think that was probably the biggest thing, just pairing the run game and the pass game, make challenging the defense's eyes.
Good, Jalen. Just following up on you talking about wanting to win a certain type of way. What does that look like? What's the message there?
Would you rather win by 7 points or 70?
17.
So, I mean, for us, that's what
teams out.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you get in the fight, you just don't want to barely win the fight. You want to whoop the guy in front of you. So, I mean, that's what the mentality is for us. It's not just about barely winning or barely getting by, but dominating. And I think for us, that's the mindset that we need to have. And it's not just about trying to just get better and take the next step and just win more games than we won last year. It's, no, it's about, to me, changing in your mentality and how you go about attacking things. I feel like as a unit, if we can go in with that confidence, that mentality that we're going to go and blow the team out in front of us and that they can't mess with us, then I feel like a lot of times that willpower will get you there.
Jalen, do you pay attention to the draft? And if so, is there anybody you've got your eye on?
Pay attention to the draft or the players in the draft?
Yeah, the players in the draft.
Yes and no. I mean, all I know really five guys, the top five. Of course, the Travis Hunter is the two quarterbacks. Probably Abdul Carter, and then probably after that, I'm not really sure. But, I mean, honestly, that's above my pay grade. I mean, guys can be great college guys in college and then come in the league and stink it up. So, I mean, we see that year after year. So, for me, I don't really pay too much time or put too much time into it. I just let the professional do their job and bring in who they feel like we need.
Higher volume of man coverage. Do you have a sense yet for what DA demands of the corners in this defense?
Meaning what, or pertaining to what?
He wants you guys to stress, whether it's being more physical, whether it's...
I would say technique and consistency. So, I mean, that's it. Because, I mean, with a lot of repetitions, that's something you better be really good at it. So, I think just being good down after down, this takes consistency, takes being in shape, takes a certain level of mental and physical strength. So, I mean, I know what it looks like personally playing the position almost my whole life. But I think just being prepared for that mentally and physically.
Jalen, you joke when you walked in that we were surprised to see you. What went into the decision to come be here?
So my respects. I think it's kind of just, it's big for me to just come in and be able to shake guys' hands, see them in person, not just talk to them on the phone, but to come in and really just be with the guys too, show the guys that I'm here. Really just show face. I think for me that it was important to do day one.
We talked with Ben and Ryan last week about the whole accountability thing. I know we broached it a lot last year. As one of the leaders of this team, what do you want that to look like in 2025 as opposed to where there might have been some pitfalls last year with that?
If you see it, call it out. I think that's the biggest thing for me. And I feel like, too, at this level, accountability isn't just talking to, but about actions and changing certain things. I mean, I feel like if I can use myself as an example, if I'm not, let's say, maybe covering as good as I need to me it's not just accountability. Oh, yeah, Jalen, just cover better. But, I mean, to me, there's a certain action that needs to be taken from somebody else to hold me accountable to that. So, I mean, what that looks like is different for every player, every situation. But I think, too, you got to, if you see something, say something. And then if it's not getting fixed, you got to do something. So, I mean, to me, that's what accountability is.
You get a sense.
There it is. That is the most definitive answer we have gotten about how the accountability piece was exercised or not on the Bears last season.
What was your takeaway from his answer there and the way he defined things?
First of all, if you see something, say something is a very applicable term that you can use in many aspects of
so
life.
So many. I use it every day. We talk about, well, it's that's valid. Probably inappropriate for this these airwaves. But yeah, see something, say something.
No, it's always appropriate. Es verdad, if you will. So I feel like that is valid for all aspects of life. But when players feel like they are in a more comfortable place to be able to be open about stuff, which this setting hasn't happened for them since the end of the year last year, you're already getting a different way that they're talking. This is more open. This is more descriptive. What was the environment like where they felt like they couldn't even say that?
It's probably more military style in terms of, you know, some people have parents who are drill sergeants, right? And you're growing up and you know not to, quote unquote, talk back, which talk back for some people is you're questioning something that I've done or told you to do or whatever. Don't question it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Children are to be seen, not heard. And some coaches have that mentality with their players. They're like, these are the rules. This is what you're going to follow. But what happens is if you're too harsh with that, then people feel like they can't speak up when they see something wrong.
Also, these are adults.
You know, I would say yes.
And military rank and file has its own internal system that everybody is supposed to follow. This is not the case. You know, you're dealing with autonomous adults who are getting paid way more than the guys in charge.
That is a factor going forward. And I think Ben Johnson, just with his demeanor, just going back to press conference number one with Bears players in attendance, set a certain tone, not just to us, the media, not just to the fans of the organization, but to the internal people involved, players, staff. Remember the leaked video that came out about him explaining how everybody's job was to make the players comfortable and better at their jobs? I think that the precedent has been laid down. That is the law of the land, if you will.
Yeah, it's also more a team. You know, it can't just be dependent on one guy or another guy. How much more? I know we're producing on the fly here a little bit. Okay, so we got a minute more of Jalen Johnson. We have a little bit more that we can play for you before we get to a commercial. So let's listen in.
I know this is the talking phase of the offseason. Can you get a sense of if that's going to be at the level you expect it to be now, or do you have to wait till closer to, I guess, phase three when you're on the field?
I mean, that's honestly an all-season thing to me. I mean, it can start now in certain ways, but I mean, I feel like really fall camp will probably be the time where you see it the most, because that's when things are really heated. That's when things kind of start, where you start really building your base and foundation as a team. But, I mean, that can go throughout the whole season. So, I mean, hopefully that is something that is in somebody's mind now to do and in our team's mind to do, and then we just carry it throughout the season.
You said it was important to be here, you know, with the new coach just to show everybody what it means. But what do you get out of being here personally this time of year, especially with a new coaching staff?
What do I get? I mean, I would just say being familiar with them. I mean, other than that, I feel like I'm a very smart player. It's easy to study the playbook, easy to study the terminology. I train, I do the right things with my body. So, I mean, far as Osteen, nothing really changes. It's just getting familiar with the guys that are now in the building.
That was Jalen Johnson's press conference brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Why was I trying to figure out which word he used that we had to bleep out?
I think it was ish.
Because it was a start of an answer. He just started me off with that.
I love it because there's something about the way that he uses the words at the podium that always cracks me up. Like, I go back to the soundbite that he had about not being in the NFL's top 100 players and how poor Hard Knocks had to DHBO it. And we played it with all the bleeps at NBC, and I was cackling the whole time.
Listen, man, he feels like he has something to prove, not only as an individual, but definitely as a team. I mean, he lets you know off the top what it is. He said, I've been through it too many times.
He has. I mean, it's unfortunately a bit of a gristled veteran take, and I don't think it's bitter. I think it's just him living through what he has gone through. I mean, we went through entire seasons with this man last year.
I like the raw honesty because he was asked, and he told him, nothing feels different. Basically saying, until something is different, nothing feels different.
You won't get your redemption, and I don't think he's going to get his redemption until November of next year, if this team has, or this year actually, next season, if this team has a winning record. He knew, you could tell in his voice exactly at what moment things started to go badly for the team. He knows. Like, I want to ask him that question when we're late in the season, and hopefully it's a different scenario.
Not only a different scenario, but we'll also know when that moment happened, when things did feel different.
Exactly.